And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The gang is all here. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Willie Donick.
What up?
That's him. The Suits.
Chase.
People of Nashville, how we doing?
Maccababe. Maxers. Man in the board. Here at the Hillside Medical Game Studio, we are awaiting Predators GM David Poile. He is going to have to move a little bit earlier, so he is just now called in. So let's say hello and good morning to David. David, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. It's a little bit busy here, but all good.
Thanks for doing this. I'm sure you're going on vacation a little bit later today. Everything's done. So where are you going, Spain?
I should get an invitation to the wedding.
You should, yes.
So yes, I kind of feel like I should do this.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you're going to do, but I think I do know what you're going to do.
I mean, you know, David, I told you last time we talked I was going to call you in a few weeks just to see how things were going with Forsberg. I figured I'd let you work and get it done, and you finally did that, so congratulations. But What was kind of this process like? I brought it up in the press conference. Was it maybe more difficult than you thought it would be going into it? Because I know negotiations are never easy, but when it's someone that has spent his whole career here, I know that you were determined to try and make this happen. So what ultimately led to getting this deal done?
Giving him more money.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
I've tried to do that with my bosses too. It hadn't worked yet, so maybe Philip can give me some pointers.
You got to be persistent. I'm being a little bit smart here, but it is about, let's face it, the length of contract, the 8 years. He believed, and he wanted that, and that totally was in our favor, because going elsewhere he could only get seven years. The no trade, no movement part of it was very important to him. The amount was important. So, you know, it's a lot of discussion. I mean, I just, you know, could it have been done, you know, earlier? I'm not really sure. I mean, in this free agent period, there's a lot of things that go on. I mean, his agency, CEA, and specifically J.P. Berry, who was his agent there, they do a great job. They got a lot of high-end clients. They're well plugged in throughout the league, and I think he knew what he probably could get, you know, elsewhere. So, you know, just a little bit of a battle back and forth. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, as I said yesterday, is that I don't think anybody ever got to the point, like we're going in a different direction. I was getting, more cautious as we're getting close to it, because, we talked about what would we do if we didn't sign Philip. I mean, we needed to, start preparing, possibly if that was going to happen. And yesterday I sort of said too, when I was asked, you said earlier you had plan A, B, C, and D. And then I said yesterday, well, that's just more general manager talk, and that, our only plan really was with Philip. So again, I'm giving you a lot of double talk here, I guess. And it's just at the end of the day, it's just, come on, we got to do that. And I think both sides found that to be the timing. From their side, when I didn't trade Philip, for example, at the trading deadline, which was never the intention because we're having a competitive year, the balance of, I guess you could say, power probably fell into their side a little bit, and that they had to work between trading deadline and July 12th to make a deal with us, and they probably used that to their advantage.
With that being said, David, is it safe to say throughout the course of the season that both sides were content with just, I don't know if gambling is the right word, but just content letting the season play out and see where the chips fall?
I would have rather have had Philip sign, during the year last year for sure. I mean, because I could have possibly, with that in hand and knowing what I had going forward, maybe done something at the trading deadline. If we maybe had done something, after the season was over, it might have allowed me to maybe enter into you know, some other discussions on trades, or even as we're, you know, working hard on free agency, might have changed things a little bit. You just never know. It's good talk to have, but you know, we are where we are, and we're glad that we have Philip, and we got to move on, and we got to see if there's anything that's available to us that is a fit now in free agency.
I've been a part of negotiations, not for a $68 million deal, fully guaranteed, but somebody has to blink in these negotiations, especially when you're on the clock in this case. So ultimately, somebody had to come off their stance, right? So how did that play out where you had the deal over the weekend? Somebody had to come off the deal. How did that work?
I would say the correct answer is we both came off our positions. And that's usually how deals are made.
And met in the middle.
Possibly.
Man, the deal is done, you still won't give us any nuggets. Why was it time to move on from Luke Cunningham? You did that in Montreal. You made that move in Montreal.
Yeah, that was a tough one also. A little unfortunate. I mean, we really liked so much about Lou in terms of his character, how he played hard or what have you. But the production wasn't there. Now, I fully expect that he'll probably have a rebound year. The thing was that the second line, of which Luke was a part of most of the year, just couldn't provide what we needed. And, you know, and just talking with our coaches and our management staff in terms of where he was going to fit in, I don't think it was going to be a good fit for Luke as to where we saw him playing. Now, it might have been a good fit for us, but I think he sees himself in a higher position than we're probably willing to give him this year based on last year. So, you know, we've got, you know, young kids like, you know, Jeannot and Trennan, for example, and maybe some others that are Tomasino that probably deserve to possibly play higher up in the lineup. And that was probably the main reason is that we just, you know, you're playing a guy in the top six when you trade for him, and most of all last year, and when you didn't have that in mind, at least for the start of the year, it felt that we might be better if we went in a different direction, and it might be better for him to go in a different direction.
Talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, and David, yesterday the qualifying offers were sent out to the other restricted free agents you had. Yakov Trennan obviously is a guy that has a pretty firm, strong role, had a really good season last year. How do you view him? He's a guy that you have to sign, and you've used different tactics, of course, when you've got core players, draft picks that are ready for that next contract. What are your thoughts on him?
Much different than, you know, Philip. And again, this is the collective bargaining agreement and difference between Philip being unrestricted and Trennan being a restricted free agent. So we qualified him yesterday. We've had lots of discussions. I mean, from a one-year contract to a multi-year contract. And, of course, the obvious is we haven't agreed on what the fair compensation is. So now we can continue to have discussions on anything, which could include a one-year deal or could include a multi-year deal. He could accept his qualifying offer, or he could take us to arbitration, which would be a one- or two-year decision there. And we have it's up to us to decide whether we want to go for 1 or 2 years. So it's basically, since we qualified him, it's done. We, without having the number or the years, we have a contract with him. So that's a good thing. And now it would be nice to just get it done. So I'm okay. However this works out, whether it's a 1 year deal or if it's a multi-year deal, I feel confident in Yak and what he can do. I also think there's, you know, even more of an upside. The way he played last year was terrific. He had a really good year. He scored some goals. He played physical for us, and he's just a good player. But it's sort of my line to you guys all the time. We're just in the negotiation, and you know, you wish everything was done as you referred at the beginning. It'd be nice to take a few days off here, but we got like four more guys to sign because of the qualifying offers yesterday.
David, as you look ahead, I can remember sometimes during free agency and also during the trade deadline, you come on a show like ours to say, look, the prices weren't the way we like them. The prices were high. There's a supply and demand element every year. I'm curious what you think right now as you sort of carve out your budget to attack free agency here. You guys have said that you'd like to find maybe a top six forward. you have a budget, you know, I guess a ballpark, what you have ready to spend. It looks to me like there's a lot of possibilities out there, more so than some years. Maybe not at the very, very top. We'll see what happens in this last 24-hour period if some other guys are signed. But how do you like your options, maybe, to improve the roster?
Well, this too is complicated, even more complicated than the Forsberg negotiations. Let's start with the salary cap. We're in a situation coming out of COVID where we've made a deal with the Players Association in terms of their salaries and payback and all that stuff, that the cap is only going up $1 million this year, and it's only going up $1 million for the next 2 years. So we, and along with all the other clubs, are kind of hard-pressed to, you know, either letting guys go or not giving raises or, you know, trying to do all of those various and different things. For us, we have some money to spend on a forward in free agency, but a long-term contract is probably not in the cards, because when I look to next year, the following year, 23-24, where the salary cap only goes up a year, we have a number of players' contracts that are up next year, whether it be Carrier, Fabro, Janot, you know, Trennan, just to mention four young guys. So they're coming off of, most of those guys are coming off of entry-level contracts, and as they keep playing the way they did last year, they're not just going to get a raise, they're going to get a substantial raise. So I can't oversign, I guess if that is the word, I could do it this year to get to the cap, but if I sign somebody to a multi-year deal, then something's going to have to give next year.
David Poile, Predators General Manager, is with us here on the DDC. I'm curious if you've had a chance to, I know you've obviously been busy with your team, but I think we're all a little surprised that Barry Trotz doesn't appear to be coaching this year. Have you talked to him at all about kind of what he's thinking and what could potentially happen with his future?
Yeah, I've talked to Barry a couple times. He was actually in Nashville about a month ago, and he's just doing a lot of, you know, traveling. They're doing a lot of family things, you know, right now. And, you know, he's the one who came out and said he's going to take the year off, and good for him. I mean, I could certainly see that. You know, after you've been at it so many consecutive years, I see somebody like John Tortorella took the year off, and he certainly didn't lose his spot in terms of getting a good coaching position with Philadelphia, and compensation was, you know, very, very good. So, you know, I think Barry just needs a little bit of time, you know, talking to him, and I think he's happy where he's at.
How did we haven't talked to you. How'd the Ryan McDonough thing come together? Was it something that was on your radar, or was that out of nowhere?
No, that was out of nowhere. I got a call from Ryan's agent, I can't put the days together, let's say it's Sunday, in the afternoon, and just saying that McDonough was going to be traded or put on waivers, or they just had to get out of it. You know, I called Julien Brisebois, general manager. He confirmed it. So I said, let me think about that. Monday morning in the office, we just talked about it. I mean, it's nothing about the player. It was all about his, you know, his salary, his cap, 4 years, and fitting this in and doing things going forward, all those type of things. And we just jumped on it based on, you know, knowing Ryan a little bit from my USA hockey days, obviously knowing him as a hockey player, having a Stanley Cup winner, how he plays, how he competes, the leadership part of it. It solidified our defense. We don't have much coming in our defense, with all due respect. So now we've got three high-end guys with Roman, Ecky and McDonough. We got some good young guys with, you know, Fabro, Carrier, Lausanne, and we still got Mark Borowicki. So I love our goaltending with Juice. I love our defense. So it was a quick decision, but I think obviously it was for us a real good, solid decision. And I think we're going to get some great benefits for having McDonough on our team.
Interesting. Before we let you go, real quick, again, haven't had a chance to run these things by you. Everything we saw with the pick at 17 with Kimmel, that everybody thought that this was kind of a steal, that they thought he was going to go earlier. Was it a surprise for you guys as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, when you're drafting 17, I'm going to try to say this correctly too, is that we didn't spend a huge amount of time on the top, say, four players. We were like the other clubs. As you see the order, this Shane Wright was supposed to go first, and he went fourth. And we had the same four players there, but we didn't dwell on them. We didn't talk a lot. Like, I knew we weren't trading for the first pick or what have you. So when you're 17, and then we had Kemmel, I think he was rated like seventh. And, you know, the guys, believe me, scouts spent plenty of time on it. But when I was in and out of the meetings and talking about guys, we were talking about guys further back. So when this came about, it was huge. I mean, again, in 25 years of the Predators, we had David Leguan as the second pick. I think we had Seth Jones as the fourth pick, and it was Brian Finley 1 year, fifth pick. Out of 25 years, we've never ever got a drafted player in the top 10, nor have we even had one of our players rated that we got in the top 10. Let's hope this guy is the goal scorer we think he is.
No doubt. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Have a great summer. I know you've got more work to do, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it as always. Predators General Manager David Poile joining us on the program. Good way to start the show. We'll come back and react on the other side here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Back here on the DDC. Good stuff. Good way to start the show. David Poile. Some good little nuggets in there. Ryan McDonough came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a good little thing to have dropped in your lap.
I would say that's good
out of nowhere phone call.
And you piece it together with what we learned from Nick Kiprios and some others that cover Tampa Bay on how this went down. The agent, I think, called everybody. Everybody who maybe they thought would have an interest and said, what do you think? I think a lot of teams were like, hey, look, I love the player, but we don't have room. We don't have a need or a combination of both. The Predators fit the profile. And when it came down to it, it was, as if you believe Nick Kiprios, and I think he's a pretty good collector of information, it was Nashville and Columbus. Those were the only two. Otherwise, I don't know what would happen if there was no interest. But as we just heard David Poile say, the key thing for all the GMs right now is the salary cap only goes up $1 million this year and $1 million next year. Next year is going to be very, very tough to add pieces. When GMs are looking ahead and saying, who do we have to sign? For example, Colorado, they just signed Val Nichushkin. They know they've got to re-sign Nathan MacKinnon.
By the way, he made a little bit over $6 million per for eight.
That was
a max deal.
That was really, really interesting. But they know they got to sign MacKinnon. So you have to look ahead. David Poile says, hey, we've got to look ahead to next year. We've got Tanner Janot, Alex Carrier, top 10 rookies. They're making less than $1 million on their entry deal. They're going to want a raise. They're going to deserve a raise, probably, if things go the way you hope. And then there's Dante Fabro, who will be a restricted free agent as well. So you have to try to set your budget. Doesn't mean they're all going to be there, but you have to be looking ahead. So to take on Ryan McDonough's contract for 4 years at his age probably took a little soul searching.
No,
so they must think he's very, very...
It'll come at a cost.
You had to really believe in
because
the player.
Because you're going to have... Look, you can't have all veteran guys on your roster.
Yeah.
You have to have
tied
rookie
up
deals.
For 4 years.
You have to have young guys. You have to have cheap deals on your roster somewhere. You just can't have all guys locked up. So, yeah, it's great with Ryan McDonough, but it'll come at a cost. It may not be this offseason, but it'll be next offseason. It will come at a cost because they'll have to keep certain areas of the roster on the cheap.
Yep.
They just will.
And the other byproduct, which he said when we asked him about the free agency coming, is he's really not in a position to have another 4 or 5 year deal
I'm
on
not
the
surprised
budget.
A bit.
Because McDonough has budgeted for that.
Now
you're looking at a one-year deal. He basically said it.
Short-term deal. Yes, yeah. That's what I've been saying.
And I feel like with that answer, the name I threw out there yesterday becomes more and more of a reality. Because I think David Perron is a 1 to 2 year.
I think for a lot of people, I agree with you. Look, if you're asking me, I'm with you on Perron. But There's a lot, like when you bring up Phil Kessel, Mr. I pooped in my pants face, look at all times. It's very house divided. There's people mm-hmm. that are for it. There are people like, no, 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 no. Well, guess what? He's like a prime candidate of what David Poyle and what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's 1 year. It's like between 2 and 3 million. And you're kind of hoping.
Got a little more than that.
And you're hope, but you're hoping you can get some more production.
Eight
out
goals
of him.
Last year.
Do what?
Eight goals.
Yeah, a horrific team.
On a horrific team.
I get that. But.
I'm with you on Perron, but I don't know what.
And
he's,
I think the market for Perron, there's going to be a lot of teams out.
Yeah, it's not like Nashville's the only one. Like, huh? What about this Perron guy? I mean, oh, by the way, he keeps pumping out good seasons. Like his services, if he doesn't end up back in St. Louis for the 19th time, people will be standing in line for his services. They will. So I mean, he definitely fits the bill.
The fact that St. Louis can't keep him tells you a lot about the salary cap for a lot of these teams. St. Louis, they desperately want to keep him, but they don't have the money to do it.
They may
have
do
tougher choices.
Though. But they may do something.
Do something,
I don't know,
to free up space?
Yeah.
Could. Maybe so. But all the reports, there was a lot of really interesting reports that came out in the wake of who got qualified, who didn't get qualified. And, of course, we'd love to have David on for 2 hours to talk about some of these. I was really surprised they moved on from David Ferentz.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting move. His stock went from.
Do you think
hey,
the door is
going to
really
be really
closed,
good?
Though,
yes.
You think it's done?
Yes, I think they're moving on from David.
Really?
Ferentz. Yes. I
you don't
they
think
are.
They could bring him back on a?
I disagree.
So. Why
I think
do you
just
say that?
I think just because they didn't qualify him.
This is where I'd like to have Scott Nickel on too, or we could have asked, like you said, have
maybe,
David on.
Hey, the week is young. Maybe
because
we get Scott Nickel.
I thought that everything I've ever heard is they're really high on him.
They were
really like him.
They were.
Well, how did he get past tense? So because of his crappy year in Milwaukee?
He did not have a good year.
I know, but that's so
he was. He also would have had to have been qualified.
He's young.
Close to
we hear that all
dollars.
The time. He's young.
I know.
Hey, you can't give up. He's young.
Look, I was surprised. I was surprised. But my vibe is
what's
they're moving
changed?
On. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't
that's
know.
Interesting because everything I've ever
think they
heard
would rather
behind the
use
scenes
that
is
budget.
They really like him.
I think they would well, they did. At one point.
Well, that relationship ended pretty quick.
It was surprising. They're not usually ones to move on from a guy that quick, but it does look like they're moving on. I think that they're trying to carve out a little budget for a two-way veteran defenseman to have as an insurance policy. You need eight guys.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're going to have to
do
that
now. The Ben Harpers, the Matt Tennysons, you see, you need guys to fill. And I just don't see – they don't think Ferentz will be ready for that role. They need the eighth guy.
What about Leonard? Is he maybe in the picture?
No? He's a forward.
Let's go to – I know. I just wonder.
Sometimes we
just
like
to have –
just
wanted to work in a joke. Don't let the facts get in the way of a joke, Willie. Let's go to
Mike. Wait a minute.
Mike.
No, Leonard is a defenseman. Leonard is a forward.
What happened to DeVries?
What about
– DeVries?
DeVries?
Let's go
not
to
Greg DeVries.
Is it Mike in DeVries. Montana or Mike Montana? I don't know who it is, but let's go to our phone line.
Related to Joe?
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, no, it's Mike from Montana.
Okay.
How
okay.
are you guys doing this morning? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Poyle segment real quick and ask you guys a question. But first, I think, Willie, I think you're the only person I have ever heard in my life in a draft describe a player as mercurial, and I didn't even know what that meant. I had to look it up, but I thought that was really funny. The NHL draft, you described Kevin Fiala as mercurial. I was like, I think you're the only person I've ever heard do that. But
okay, but does the word fit mercurial?
I still don't know what it means. You'll have to explain.
Okay,
I don't think Willie does either.
Well, somebody told me it meant like enigmatic, an enigma. Would you say?
Oh yeah, well that would fit Fiala for sure. Yeah,
same idea.
Willie's anyway, always looking for nicer ways to say things about people. I just
flaky.
Usually, yeah. I just usually come out with just words that everybody knows what they mean.
Well, it was great. It was a good fit. On the Poyle stuff, I've been really critical of Poyle here last couple of years. I feel like we should have done a complete rebuild. That's my stance. I'm still going to watch the game, still going to watch the teams. But I'll say this. I watched Chicago this year.
See if you still feel that way.
Yeah, well, I watched Colorado and too. So there's two sides to that. But I will say this. Look, I love the moves that Poyle is making right now. I think he's 3 for 3 on McDonough, on Kamel, and Forsberg, the re-signing. My question is really more about the defense with McDonough coming in, because if I read the tea leaves correctly, and I may not, I want to get, this is what my question, do you think that this is a prove-it year for Carrier and Fabbro? Like, it's like there's one spot for that type of a player, the smaller, puck-moving, offensive
good
defense.
Good question, Mike.
And do you think that if they, whoever wins out will get the contract, or the, and the other one will be traded or let go?
Good question. We'll address that. Appreciate the phone call, as always, and thanks for listening to Montana. We know it's Mike from Montana, not Mike
That's
Montana.
That's a really good question.
We'll come back and address that on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. But first, we've got a word from Screwball.
Yes, from a Screwball. That's me. Because, you know, when I'm out with my friends, you know what I like to do? I like to have a good time, do a little karaoke on Friday nights. And I love to have Screwball peanut butter whiskey. Whether it's in a shot, chilled, which is what I prefer, or on the rocks, which maybe these guys would like that, or perhaps an old-fashioned, a martini. There are a lot of different recipes. You can go to screwballwhiskey.com to learn more about that. I love it because it's an original just like me. It's made with all natural flavors, real whiskey, real peanuts, and real peanut butter, and that's what gives it its smooth taste, and it goes down smooth as well. So when you're out with your friends, ask for it by name. Order a Screwball peanut butter whiskey as a shot, as a drink, however you like, but also remember to do like I do. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.
Our buddy Tim Hasselbeck will join us at high noon back here on the DDC. Good question. Mike from Montana. It really goes along the lines of what I just threw out literally before we went to his phone call. Ryan McDonough is a good thing to have plop in your lap, but it will come at a cost. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. And you know we've had this conversation before, Willie, because you're like, how am I going to make all this work? You can't do it. Because how they make it work is how David has always made it work, because he knows eventually you have to shed, you have to move on, and you have to always constantly be moving the pieces around. You can't just stay status quo. It's not what David Poile does. It's not what the Predators do. It's what everybody does. You have to.
Every team has
it's
to do it.
It's part of it. And so McDonough, great. But to Mike's question, will it come at a cost of maybe one of the young defensemen?
Well,
I don't know. I would say if you're asking me to answer it, I'd lean toward, yeah, probably.
But I think also what he was getting at, because he said this, is it a prove-it year for Fabbro and Carrier? And I would say the answer to that is yes.
Is it every year a prove-it year, though?
Yeah, but especially they,
when it's a contract
coaches,
year.
I've heard over the years.
Fabbro, remember, we're not far removed from being a healthy scratch in the playoffs.
Right. And I can remember having – you and I have had several on-air and off-air conversations with Hal. He obviously knows the position. You have too, Willie.
Sure.
I mean, like, how's a good resource on playing defense in the NHL? But everyone has always kind of indicated to me that for a defenseman, it takes about 3 years to really develop into whatever you're going to be. And you either get there or you don't. We're at that point, you know, especially with Fabbro, that he's at the point where, okay, now you're going to see what you really have in him. And he's shown – he's shown some flashes, but I still think there's more to his game. So I think this is more of a prove-it year for him, really, than anything, because Carrier, even though he's been in the system, he's been a pro, he's only been in the NHL for a year and a half.
Carrier has outplayed Fabbro since Carrier came
up.
It's not even close.
His
really.
Growth chart is higher. Yep.
And he's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So those two things are working very much in Carrier's favor right now. Fabbro is actually still younger than Carrier, even though Carrier came up a lot later than Fabbro did.
Fabro's 24.
And Carrier will be 25, I think, right?
He is 25.
He is 25. Maybe he will turn 26 during the season. I don't know when his birthday is.
October 8th. So, yeah, he will.
He'll be 26 when the season starts, basically. Okay, so he's 2 years older. So that will tell you there's still a chance that Fabbro could blossom. But I think what Mr. Montana brought up that is a very important point.
No, he's from Montana. It wasn't Mike Montana.
Well, we can still call him Mr. Montana, okay. Right?
Sure.
It sounds cool.
Hannah's dad.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, I think that might be Billy Ray. Anyway, go ahead.
That's good. I think when you're talking about top four defensemen, it's a luxury to have somebody making what Fabbro will make as a third pair defenseman, which right now, that's what Fabbro is. I have been one that has been in his corner saying, look, he's not done developing yet. Stick with him. He still can make a jump. But time is running out. Okay, McDonough is going to be in the top four. Right now, Alex Carrier, to me, will be in the top four. Fabbro is either going to be one of the better third-pair defensemen in the league, or he's going to have to make a jump and knock somebody out of that. How realistic is that? I don't know. He's going to have the opportunity. But you look at the budget going forward, his contract is up. They've got no extra room now. So can you really afford on your roster to have a third-pair guy making
I think two guys, 10%?
So
two guys
happens?
Are fighting for one spot.
Yes, and that's this year. That's if they hold it. Now, if they were not able to shed Meyer's salary, which was a stroke of genius, yes. I don't know how they got rid of that, and now trading Cunningham. Imagine, they would have no money to even go after the second forward.
Yeah.
Now, but as it is, you heard David Poile kind of give you the horizon. They've got room for a short-term contract to go after a top six forward.
Yep.
So it's one, I don't know if they could squeeze a second year out of it at the right budget. But I was one that said stick with Fabbro. But some people have been telling me, they look at the cap and they're like, would you think about trading Fabbro here?
There's
and
two
going
things.
For a more veteran, cheaper defenseman to play on the third pair?
Let me ask
you. And saving a little bit of money?
You say that and then I have a couple of points.
What are you getting right now? Today, what are you getting? What's the value
of what?
If you were to make that move, tell me
if
what.
If you get a fourth round pick for Matthew Olivier, you're going to tell me you're going to get.
I'm asking. I don't.
I think he fetches a second round pick. He's 24 years old.
I do think you could get a decent return.
I don't know if you
tell
get a first.
Me what decent is.
Well, Luke Cunningham just got a third round pick and an
Which
NHL
is
player.
Amazing. Okay, Mike Greer.
That's my point.
Welcome to being a GM, but how in the world?
Cunningham and Fabbro are from the same draft and first round picks. So, like I said, there's a lot of growing that Fabbro could do. He played the entire year in the top four last year.
Is your answer a first round pick?
I'm answering. I don't know, but it's value. You can get
value. I'll give an answer. I say a second round pick.
I think that's reasonable. I think you could.
And as Fabbro corrected me on when I talked to him at 615 day that I didn't like it just didn't register with me.
You asked him his value?
No. He hasn't played 82 games.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean he hasn't played a full season with everything that's been going on. And so I get all that. The couple of points that I was going to make here. One, I'm still not 100% convinced Elli Tolvanen is on this roster when they go into training camp. I still
that's one you got to think about, but I'm not ready. He's cheaper.
Again.
He's cheaper.
What is his value?
Again, if you're getting a fourth-round pick for Matthew Olivier and a third-round pick for Luke Cunningham, like you can't tell me you're going to get less than that for Tolvanen. I don't see it. I mean, I think you're going to get something there.
Well, to me, I still think Tolvanen could blossom. I think he's young. He's younger.
Absolutely. Fabbro could too. Carrier, you could get more out of. But, and I was going to say this before somebody texted me the exact same thing I was going to say. He doesn't make this move for McDonough if he has seen everything he needs to see from Fabbro and Carrier.
Very true.
Yeah.
No chance that they make that move.
Agreed.
I use this phrase a lot on this show. McDonough is an insurance policy that fell in his lap, just like Tannehill fell in the Titans' lap. That, you know what? It's a big cap hit, but I know what he can do. He's a damn good locker room guy, good leader, had a letter. He's a former captain, so you know you're getting that. He's still a solid defenseman that can be in the top four. I needed to address that. Now it's been done. And maybe it lights a fire under the two young guys that I want to see more out of. But it also allows me the opportunity that, you know, let's just say for a second, you're getting to the deadline. maybe they don't get the forward that they want in free agency. You're going to the deadline. Fabbro and Carrier are both playing well. You know that you have a good defense core, and you could trade one of them, get something good at the deadline for your run. That's a good position to be in. You never know. Or you go into the summer next year, and you can unload one of them and get something else.
All right, let me throw another possibility out there. You heard David Poile basically say, I'm looking ahead a couple years here with the cap being virtually flat. I'm not sure I've got the resources right now to go after a top six guy beyond a short-term deal. If you did make a deal for Fabbro, would that change? Would you have room to go after somebody?
You're talking about right now?
I'm talking about starting tomorrow at 11 a.m. Yeah. And hey,
I think so.
Like, I'm not trying to start rumors here. I'm totally fine with giving Fabbro another year if that's what you choose. But if you cleared another 2.4 and you bring that into the table and you got one less guy that you're budgeting for, could you go after more of a younger?
You're talking about to beef up the second line?
Yes. I'm talking about
you're
a guy
talking about
that
a
you're
beefier
not,
guy than some of the low.
Maybe a younger guy. Maybe it's a Dylan Strome. Maybe it's a Andrew Kopp.
Oh, let's hold
somebody
that.
Like that.
Let's talk about that on the other side. Because we're actually getting feedback and questions, and Strome has been mentioned. So we'll address that on the other side as we come back and wrap up the first hour. But first, Vili, you got a word about Loan Pronto.
I do.
So Loan, do that now.
Loan Pronto. I will do that pronto. Loan Pronto, of course, they have a message for all of you right there that might have some issues with some high interest loans that are piling up on you right now. And maybe because of some of the inflation and some of the things, you're getting squeezed a little bit. Nobody likes that. But if you're a homeowner, one of the things that Loan Pronto has helped a lot of people with is getting them to know that you're sitting on a pile of money. You've got a home equity line of credit that's there for you that Loan Pronto can help hook you up with, or a whole loan refinance. Take advantage of what you have and use it to unlock your equity and get a big check that you can then attack some of the bills you might be having, some of the things that might be piling up, or if you've got a vision on making your home even more valuable with a home improvement project, or you're maybe looking for a new home, get the down payment. Stash away for a safety net. All of these are options that maybe you hadn't considered. Call Loan Pronto now and ask about these options. They can really help you get yourself credit card debt free and other advantages financially. Call them at 615-499-5780. That's Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780, or go to the website, loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.
Back here on the DDC. So, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. So, Peyton in Missouri listening. All right, can we turn the music down, please? Please. Please turn the music down. Please.
You don't like that song?
No, I do for just small doses.
Okay.
Max likes the slow fade. I appreciate the slow fade.
That was really
slow. That was really slow. That was a really slow fade.
And by the way, I didn't feel like it was fading.
Just time. Just it went from like 10 to 9 and
I
a half
I felt like that was
nine.
An encore. Yeah. I really did. Peyton in Missouri. I'm going to say Peyton was born here. Don't you think? In the state of Tennessee? And now lives in Missouri?
What would give you that idea?
I mean,
my guess is most people in Missouri, P-E-Y.
Yeah. Peyton was actually was actually born in New Orleans and played here.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting this is Peyton Manning. No. I'm saying this is Peyton in Missouri. Not Peyton Missouri. Not Mr. Missouri. Yeah. Peyton in Missouri. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what about Dylan Strome? Just got canned by the Hawks. That's an interesting way of putting it. Had 22 goals, 26 assists in 69 games last year. He's in a prove-it status, but the skill is undeniable and might be able to get him on a relatively cheap deal.
He's a center.
Deal. Not Dill Pickle.
Is that a bit – so before we answer Dylan Strome, You know, there's a couple of these guys, Andrew Kopp's one of them, that their primary position is center. Do we feel like that we're just in a world where that doesn't matter anymore? I mean,
well,
Matt Duchene's a prime example.
I think you could look at either one because Mikael Granlund is very versatile.
He can slide
over.
And
Kopp, by the way, has got that same versatility.
And they're both left-handed shots.
But do they really have versatility? Because I kind of feel like some of the guys we've been bringing up, they've been predominantly just centermen. Right?
Kopp has played a little wing.
Has he?
Kopp is more put him anywhere you want.
Okay. What about Strome?
Strome has been more of a pure center.
Yeah.
But Strome is very intriguing because he's younger, too. That's the thing about Strome. He was the third overall pick.
That's not a one-year deal. I mean, that's a...
I think he'd be looking for term.
Yeah.
But what... I do think it's a buyer's market. I don't think David Poile really took that part of my question to him on that. He sort of looked at it from their own perspective that they don't really have the ability to commit long term to a player, which is what all these players want. But I looked at Greg Wyshynski's article yesterday. He quoted Ken Holland. He goes, the middle class free agents are up against it here because not a lot of teams have a budget to go after those guys. So what will the market be? What would you offer Dylan Strome?
That's a good question.
He would have had to have been qualified at a little over $3 million. He's only 25. Mm-hmm. So he's younger. Andrew Kopp is 27.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he's hitting the unrestricted free agency. He's a little bit older. Dylan Strome has had high-end offensive talent at times. He's been very streaky.
Yeah,
he's gotten into the doghouse. Obviously, two teams have moved on from it, but it's Arizona and Chicago. Both have been complete messes for the most part. So what could he do in a new
environment? Never played a full season. 78 games is the most he's ever played, and that was between Arizona and Chicago in 18-19. He had 22 goals. I mean, last year was definitely his best season,
well
goal-wise. But he had 51 points in 18-19.
In how many games?
78. He had 48 points last year in 69 games, so it's pretty good.
And then what about the shortened season? 56 games.
So last year, 40 games, 17 points.
See, yeah, so he's been very up and down. I don't think he would break the bank.
I mean, he's probably in your $4 to $4.5 million range, but he's going to want.
But do you want him long term, or would you rather have a Perron or somebody like that for 1 year?
If it's me, I'd rather go Perron for 1 year because you got some forwards in the system that you need to see what you got there. I mean, Afanasyev, when are we going to see more from him?
Yeah,
but I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It may not be this year, but if you go with a guy on a 1 or a 2 year deal, if they came out tomorrow and announced David Perron to Nashville, 2 years, $9 million, I'd say, great. Good with it. Move on.
Okay, let's get back to Fabbro again. If you were to trade Fabbro and then you could make a longer commitment to somebody like Strome. If you really like Strome, is that something that appeals to you, or would you rather go stay with Fabbro for a year, see how he plays, and go 1 year with a veteran guy? Like, I'll throw another name out there. I don't know what the market's going to be. Claude Giroux, same age as Perron. He's been a prolific player. I think everybody would love to have Claude Giroux, but who can offer him a good deal? I think he's looking around going, who wants me? Now, Ottawa, you hear a lot about Giroux. Could they offer him two or three years?
Pittsburgh's been mentioned. If they don't bring Malkin back, I don't know how they're going to pay for him.
And how about Pittsburgh re-upping with Ricard Raquel for the amount of money they got?
Honestly, I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing.
That is crazy to me.
To me, they look like they are headed toward not salary cap jail, but just hell. I mean, they're just going to have all these guys with contracts. It's like, what do we do with all this? This is a mess. Right? I mean, we talked about it. Given Letang, that's insane.
I did not view Ricard Raquel as a 6-year,
no,
$5 million per Is that what it was? Or 5 years at $6 million per year. I can't remember which one it was, but I was like, whoa.
So I got a game for you.
And now they're drawing the line on Malkin? It's like, oh, now you're drawing the line on the guy who's been there forever?
Yeah. I think Malkin,
I think he's gone.
I think Malkin just got ticked off, and he's in a world where he thinks he should get paid as a star still.
Yeah, but
because
he's
when he's played, he's been a star, but he's got so much mileage, and he's had so many injuries.
He's not the same. He's still good.
He's still a point-per-game guy.
He's still good.
Oh, he's very good.
But I don't know if he's the same.
Big body. I mean, big frame. I mean,
but he seems I think you're going to see the market
he
for
seemed
him is
insulted,
not what he
though.
Thinks it is.
He seemed insulted and said, and he put it out there to Darren Drager, I'm hitting the market. But what's the market?
Yeah, that's weird because he's not a temperamental guy. He's a very even-keeled
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen him lose his cool.
Just never. He's just, you know, high or low. He just seems to be very flatline. It's weird.
Adam did throw it out this morning how awesome it would be for him to go to Washington, play beside Ovechkin, and then go up against Crosby.
John on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, thoughts on a few of these contracts expiring around the time Haslam comes in. Do you think he may have any sway on sitting or letting those players walk?
It's the cap. You know, they have the green light and have had the green light to spend to the cap. So the only thing I think that Haslam's investment would do is maybe have a little easier way to front-load contracts. I know Forsberg, if you look at the details of the contract, he's getting more money as signing bonus. That's where I think that versatility helps. But other than that, I don't
see. Did I see where the last 2 years are modified? Did I see that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, where they can. Year seven and eight.
There's some years where he gets a signing bonus. There's some years where he gets paid more than others, but the cap figure is 8.5
each year.
Look, we had
Bill Haslam on, and I flat out asked him, like, what kind of owner are you? What type of, you know, are you a hands-on? Are you stay back and let your people do their jobs? I mean, look, really, you are hands-on. I mean, to a certain degree, everybody, it's a different degree of hands-on, right? You're either – yeah, you could be in the middle of everything, but ultimately you do have say, and you will have say. But I don't think there's any correlation, right, with these expiring contracts and them kind of moving him in the next 2 to 3 years as the majority owner.
He hasn't. He's not even close to signing the. He's not even officially on board yet.
Right.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah. But an interesting question. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two. Continue the discussion next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.